Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing 2019 to 2020 preseason coverage. This is our what are we doing tonight, David? The Big West,
the Big 14.
Big 14. This is our Big 10 preview podcast. Yes, we're talking Big 10 hoops tonight. We are talking all things Rutgers and Nebraska tonight, and
yeah,
12 other teams too. I'm your host up here in the top center, Chad Sherwood, joined on both sides me here by John Stalica and Joby Fortson. Next row down, we've got Rocco Miller back from Bracketeer.org, woo-hoo, as well as David Griggs from God knows where.
Who's HD?
Oh, is that where you're from?
I think so.
Anyhow, this is our Big Ten preview. The Big Ten had a heck of a season last year. They put, by my count, I think it was 8 teams in the NCAA tournament, 3 in the Sweet 16 at least, Michigan State making the run all the way to the Final Four, and could be just as successful of a season, maybe in terms of number of teams tonight. We'll get to that at the end of the show, but I think we got to start off the show with the top of the Big Ten. And Rocco, you weren't with us for our last two podcasts. Let me start with you on this. And I think it's going to be unanimous who we think the Big Ten champion is going to be. So who is that team, and what are your thoughts on them heading into the season?
Yeah, that team would be the Michigan State Spartans, who breaking news. I think we're going to find out here soon. I'm not sure the exact date it comes out, but it'll be the first time in school history they're going to be number one in the AP poll. It'd be a really big surprise if they aren't. And that's number one to start a season. They've never been number one to start a season. So uncharted waters, more achievements for Tom Izzo's program. But it's well-deserved. I think everybody is really familiar with Cassius Winston. They're all everything point guard, decided to come back to school. And getting guys like Aarons and Langford back from injury last year to go along with a strong nucleus, there's really kind of no way from a projection standpoint you can't put them at the top of this league. And of course, a Final Four team last year, a team that beat Duke with all their amazing freshmen in the Elite Eight, and just a really strong core, and everything that we know without a game actually being played. I don't think there's any way you can't have this team number one.
Yeah, and Joby, maybe not only number one in the Big Ten, as Rocco just mentioned, maybe number one in the entire nation.
Right. As Rocco said, they'll likely – I think it's almost a foregone conclusion they will get that AP number one spot. Good factoid, Rocco. I guess Magic Johnson just didn't impress the preseason pollsters back in 79 or 78, as it were, enough. Come on. They have the preseason number one team. They're the preseason favorite. Cassius Winston is the preseason favorite for the Naismith. And I'm not saying they're going to win the national title definitively, but man, I bet Vegas, as I remember, Vegas already has the odds, excuse me, well in their favor. And this team, the Big Ten is good. It is deep. But I don't know if there are a lot of challengers to their supremacy. And we'll get into other teams. A lot of good teams. That's not a crack on the Big Ten. I just think that they are that step ahead with the returning starters and Izzo guiding the ship.
Yeah, Dave, we have Cassius Winston, probably the best player in the Big Ten. Don't forget Xavier Tillman on this team. I mean, what a deep team this is.
Right, and again, when a team is this good, you can talk about how great they are all day long. It's almost more of an exercise to figure out, are there any shortcomings or are there any chinks in the armor? And the only one I can point to is how cohesive will they be with only two starters back last year? You know, with only two starters back from last year, will it take them a couple of weeks or a few games to kind of get in step? Because they hit the ground right away in the Legends Classic, or is it the Champions Classic? I forget what it is.
The Champions Classic.
Let's go to Sleeka is our schedule expert. What about the Michigan State, especially their non-conference schedule?
Well, they start off with Kentucky in the Champions Classic. Right. I'm sure Kentucky can't do any worse this year than they did last year against Duke for their opener. But going back to Michigan State, they also have a trip to Seton Hall as part of the Gavitt Games. It'll be the main event in the Maui Invitational with Virginia Tech and either Dayton or Georgia in their half of the bracket.
Virginia Tech, but go ahead.
They'll also be hosting Duke at the Breslin Center as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and they'll also have a game against Oakland and Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. But other than that, just your typical garden variety bye games in between.
Well, so I think there is, while there's some challenges there, that they have a nice handful of games, though, also to try to get that cohesion going that David was talking about, though, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, Joby, let me turn back to you. Beyond Michigan State, that's where things start getting very debatable, I think, in this conference. Right. So here's the question. Who is going to be the second best team?
It's a toss-up for me between two. I feel like Holtzman's going to get the job done, and Kyle Lamb's going to be happy with my answer. I'm going to go Ohio State. But there are arguments across the board here. I think Wesson's going to be a pretty darn strong return. He'll be all Big Ten, I think, at the end of the day. And they have a very strong – Chris Holt, he's actually surprised me how well he's recruited. Very strong recruiting class coming in. And you've got role players like Muhammad, et cetera, who are pretty darn good. And I think Cat can actually break out. So I'm going to say that the Buckeyes are number two. But a lot of good arguments, I'm sure, that others on the panel will get.
I got to ask you, you mentioned Wesson. Which one?
Caleb.
You got Caleb and Andre there, but
true.
Rocco, what
Caleb's,
about
these? Caleb's the star. I mean, let's face it. Caleb's the one who's going to be all Big Ten.
Rocco, what about these Buckeyes? Are they the second best team? Do you like, or are they too young really at this point still?
I think they very well could be. I think Joby made a lot of good points. I think they're at least nine deep, and Gaffney's another one of their star freshmen. He could develop quicker. I think he's more of a project, so he might not be as productive this season. But if he does come along, that gives him 10. Don't forget they got C.J. Walker, who transferred in from Florida State. He only led Florida State to the Elite Eight 2 years ago, sat out last year. Both Dwayne Washington and Luther Muhammad were freshmen last year. Got off to outstanding starts, and then hit a freshman wall around late January, early February. I think they should be well positioned to have a much stronger sophomore campaign. And I do think Ohio State is right in the realm with two other teams to get second. I've got them all pretty even, 2 through 4. I'm sure you'll bring up the next two teams coming soon. But, I think you add in two really ready-to-play freshmen like DJ Carton and EJ Liddell. Liddell's almost guaranteed to start at this point. This has got a really good balance from freshman to senior class with a proven coach. There's a lot to like about Ohio State.
Yeah, I like them too. I thought I was going to like them more than you all. I think I might not, as much as I like them, I think Joby likes them even a little bit more. But to further that point, Chris Holtmann, all the way back to the Gardner Webb days when we were talking about them, I don't even know if we were doing under the radar yet, but they have a history of outperforming preseason expectations, or he does, whether it was there or Butler or even his first few years at Ohio State. So you have to kind of take that into account, too, on top of what everyone else has said. I think they're going to be excellent this year.
Yeah. Slick, are you going to comment on them before we move on?
I was a little surprised Joby did not stay within the beltway for the team in second, and that's going to be the Maryland Terrapins, because they've also got 7 out of their – 8 top players returning. That's including Anthony Cowan, Daryl Morsell, Jalen Smith, and Eric Ayala. This was a team that was also, shall we say, in a couple close games in the NCAA tournament. They survived their first round matchup against Belmont, but lost the heartbreaker against LSU that denied them a trip to the Sweet 16. They're going to have their own chances as far as advancing at least to the Sweet 16 and beyond. They'll be in the Orlando Invitational this year with Temple as well as Texas A&M and Harvard. So they should be able to win that field. And they'll also have tests against Notre Dame and Seton Hall coming up in December.
Well, Joby, he mentioned Beltway, your area there. I guess my question with Maryland is how do they make up for Fernando being gone?
That is probably the reason. I mean, Jalen Smith's going to have to carry more of the load. Mm-hmm. I like Jalen Smith a lot. But that was, I think, Fernando going and – I mean, he went early. I don't agree with his move. Personally, I think he could have – I think he really could have improved his draft stock by staying. But the fact of the matter is that loss is why I said Ohio State. I can take arguments all day on why Maryland is. When Rocco mentioned three teams. I actually only see two in the, and it's Ohio State and Maryland. And I'm an all comer on taking arguments on them, but it's that loss that has them. It'll be one of those deals where that on a 20 game schedule, one team will be like 14-6 and the other 13-7. You know, that sort of thing.
Well, Rocco,
14-6 on a 20,
Rocco, he kind of called you out there. Was Maryland one of your next other three teams, and who was the third? I guess also.
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, I do have Maryland second if I had to break all the ties here. But I do think I'm maybe giving a little respect to this program because I read a stat earlier today. There's only a handful of teams that have finished in the top 20. I think there's six. Top 20 in KenPom the last 4 years straight. Four of them are obvious. I think it's like Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky. Another one's fairly obvious. I think that's Michigan State. The sixth one is Purdue. And I have a lot of respect for the way they've built this program. I think that what they bring back is significant. I think the key will be, you know, can Noel Eastern come in and take on a larger role? Obviously, Carson Edwards leaves a big hole, and there's a lot of watching him do his magic, especially late in the season last year. But I do like this roster a lot from top to bottom, a good amount of experience, 1 through 8. And a handful of freshmen that can contribute, like Isaiah Thompson, right off the bat. I think Thompson has actually a chance to start. So I'm giving Purdue kind of benefit of the doubt. They've got the track record, and they certainly look like at least a tournament team. And I think they can work their way up to protected seed area if they do what they've showed us before.
Well, and David, it's interesting. I think what I've read, it was 7 of the top 10 scorers are back for Purdue. But on the other hand, Carson Edwards is gone. Ryan Klein is also going to double-digit score.
Yeah, as far as my take on Purdue is this, and I kind of said this in that recap and response that I know everybody's read already. And by everybody, I mean the millions and millions of people watching this. But most people kind of forget at the end of the season how the season unfolded. And forever, I think as late as February, we were talking about how Purdue didn't have that monster protected seed caliber win. So they didn't really become that Elite Eight caliber team until late into the year. I could kind of see them going through a similar process this year where they start off they're good, but they drop some games early that as they improve throughout the year, they're not going to be dropping. I think that Purdue will finish playing better than what they started playing, and I'm basing that what they did basically the last 2 years. So at the beginning, while I think they might struggle and they're certainly going to be missing key pieces, I do think throughout the year that players will step up and they'll again kind of be Sweet 16 or maybe even a little better by the end of the year.
Right, Elite Eight run last year for the Boilermakers. Let's kind of take the next step, though.
They had a lead over the national champions with less than 3 seconds to go when Virginia was about 70 feet from the basket.
As did everybody Virginia played the tournament last year.
And here's the thing. I think David's point's excellent. I will defer to Stalika on this.
All of my points are excellent.
Purdue, to their credit, We were skeptical because they entered Big Ten play at something like 7-5 out of conference. But those five and a lot of those seven were against tournament caliber teams. If they do that again, yeah, they could be 7-5. But I believe that strengthens you down the stretch. And the last point I'll say is, well, you know, they're returning everybody, except they lost Carson Edwards. That's like saying, well, you know, the Bulls can still win. Jordan's going playing baseball, you know. I mean, but they return everybody. You know, return Scottie Pippen, hey. You know, oh, no, Ryan Klein left. So, yeah.
The Bulls still made it to the
– Well, wait a second, Joe, because if Carson Edwards was still at Purdue, I may have picked the better than Michigan State this year. So
I know. But he, not Cassius Winston, would be the preseason Naismith.
Yes. Stalika. Beyond these top four, is there a clear fifth place team, or is there somebody up that should be the top four that we haven't mentioned yet?
I don't know about clear fifth place team, but this is where I start to look at Wisconsin. Now, one thing we're going to have to watch is this is the first year that they're not going to have Ethan Happ coming back, but they're still going to have guys like Brevin Pritzel, Demetric Trice, Nate Reuvers, and Brad Davidson who are going to be returning. They'll still have some experience, but they don't have that one star player they've had in recent memory, whether it's Happ or Bronson Koenig or Frank Kaminsky.
Well, that's a good question, Rocco. Is Wisconsin without a star player, kind of like we just said, hey, Purdue without, but no Carson Edwards, you know, Wisconsin, but no Ethan Happ. What does this team do?
Well, I think we can all count on Wisconsin playing great defense. They once again finished top five in the nation in adjusted defense last year. That keeps them in a lot of games that sometimes they might otherwise get blown off the court in. And so, yeah, the roster, there's a lot of mysteries. They got some bad news last week when Micah Potter transferred from Ohio State, did not get his waiver approved. Yeah. That hurt. That stings a little bit. I'm up in the air across this conference on who's going to get fifth. But
real quick on that, he can play. It's just that he has to wait until the fall semester is over. So they're expecting him by about mid-December, I think.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't sure on that. So, yeah, so I think overall, I like the way Wisconsin plays. Their defensive style keeps them in the games. I will pencil them into fifth. Somebody either has to tie for fifth or get fifth. But I think it's a total toss-up across the league who gets into the spot.
Well, I got to say, David, let me ask you this. Other than Wisconsin being kind of a big question mark, the other team I have a huge question mark about is the Michigan Wolverines. This is a team that I look at and I think, wow, they could finish second place. They could finish 12th place in this conference. Am I looking at them correctly?
Well, I think I agree in having big questions. It's just I'm kind of at a point now, this is the third or fourth time in the last 5 years where we've had big questions about Michigan or they've come in unranked, and then suddenly they just explode in a big way, getting as high as top five. So while I have questions, if I had to pick, I think that once again – It's about the system. It's about, like, infusing the players they have into that system. They've done that really well in the past. I would think that they would do that again.
Well, you have a new head coach, so this is also – so you know, it may not be the same system.
Well, yeah, that's true. Never mind. Go back.
Well, Toby, why don't I ask you about Michigan then with Howard coming in as the new head coach here and taking over for Beilein?
I'm skeptical. Okay. But, you know, I'm knee-jerk skeptical to these moves, such as the dual moves of Chris Mullin and Patrick Ewing. And yeah, I think actually both, despite Mullin not surviving this offseason, did better than expected. You know, so I maybe should temper my skepticism of, oh, former player doesn't know what he's doing on the, you know, inside, you know, in the box. The bigger issue is, you know, their top three scorers are gone. Yeah. That's the bigger issue. I mean, Howard's going to be able to recruit. Maybe he builds a team over time. This isn't the year. Beilein would have had, you know, if Beilein were the coach, we'd be talking about them in this position, is my point. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I meant, if Beilein were still the coach.
Where's the buzzer? Slick, you had a comment.
But I think we'd be talking
about we talk a lot about Juwan Howard taking the head coaching job, but one addition they quietly made was Phil Martelli, who had spent the last quarter century at St. Joe's, but after being dismissed, he does bring an Elite Eight appearance, a Sweet 16 appearance with him, so he'll be able to help Howard at least in terms of the short run while he gets his feet wet in terms of the NCAA coaching ranks, because he does have quite a bit of NBA assistant head coach experience, but how will that translate to the college game?
Well, Rocco, let me ask you this. If it's not going to be Wisconsin and it's not going to be Michigan, who is the fifth place team?
I'd say the next team on the list would be Illinois. And yes. It's now year three of the Brad Underwood era in Champaign. And, you know, it only took him 1 year in Stillwater to get to the tournament, and he hasn't exactly gotten close in his first two campaigns in Champaign. So, but this is a really they got a great player, Iode Desamu, who didn't even test the waters last year, surprisingly. Everything I've read about him, he's got a great head on his shoulders, and he has taken on a leadership position as a sophomore. The big guy from the Republic of Georgia, Giorgi Beshenshvili, I think I might have said that incorrectly, but he was a very impressive freshman last year as well. So those two guys having that two-man game, coming back along with a good supporting cast. Kofi Cockburn's a top 50 recruit out of Jamaica that will also bring some size. Brad Underwood's got the luxury now to mix and match some lineups that he hasn't had yet at Illinois. And I think they go about 9-10 deep. So, you know, one thing we saw last year, I'm just going to use a team outside of the Big Ten as an example, but with Auburn making the Final Four, you know, one thing Bruce Pearl talked about a lot, what he credits that run to is being able to have a bench four or five guys deep throughout the season that allowed his team to be fresh by the time March rolled around. Play a lot more games when March rolls around. That makes a big difference if you can make a run or not. Illinois has got a roster set up to do something like that, much like a couple other teams we already talked about. So I like what I see from Illinois, but they just got to prove it because, you know, a lot of these guys have not had that experience yet.
Yeah, and you know, I love teams with that much returning players and with the experience and all. But David, on the other hand, they did lose 21 games last year with this team.
Yeah, and I'm having a little hard. I mean, I could foresee them making a huge 180 and being in the tournament this year. But yeah, when you're coming off of a 20 loss season, I have more questions than answers about them. I'm not ready to predict that they're going to be that good, but not that I would rule it out, but I'm not as sold on them as I think everybody else is. Nor am I sold on Michigan, who lost their coach.
Okay. Joby, let me ask you about another team that is, I think, one of the biggest question marks of the Big Ten is over in Iowa, where Jordan Bohannon, coming off of a May surgery and still not certain if he's going to play, if he's going to just take a redshirt year. What I'm hearing is Bohannon is intending to at least try playing. He could probably still get a medical redshirt if he plays 9 or less games, I think is the rule. So, right. But I mean, that's a huge difference of what this Iowa
is. That makes it completely unpredictable. I think how this will turn out is Bohannon, and it does pivot around him. I think it will pivot. He'll be back. I think he will be, from what I've read, he'll be available sooner, like February, is essentially when he'll be available. They're basically going to say, can Iowa make the tournament at that point? And if Iowa can make the tournament, I think he plays. And if Iowa's had a fall off the cliff type year, I don't think they will, but if they've had a fall off the cliff type year, I think he just sits in red shirts. Yeah, or at least does the minimum needed and makes sure he's completely 100% healthy, before coming back and uses the 8-9 games or whatever the rule is.
Well, Stalika, what does their schedule look like if they've got to pick up wins?
Well, assuming Mount McCaffrey doesn't erupt by the end of the year, you have to look at possible games against Texas Tech and either Creighton or San Diego State as part of the Las Vegas Invitational. They'll still have the rivalry game at Iowa State. They go to Syracuse as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And this year they'll also be going to Chicago for a neutral game where they'll play Cincinnati in the United Center.
Well, Rocco, if I had to ask, is Iowa the top half of the Big Ten team or a bottom half of the Big Ten team? How do you answer that question?
Hard to answer because I think we would all agree if Bohannon were theoretically healthy all year, we'd probably all have him in the top half. I think with not giving him the benefit of the doubt, they got to be in the bottom half. But, an interesting team. Joe Weiskamp is still a really great player, tested the NBA waters last year. Fran McCaffrey gets to coach two of his sons this year, and the incoming freshman is supposed to be a pretty darn good recruit. So I think they'll still
good
make some noise.
Good job by Coach McCaffrey landing that one.
Two less scholarships to worry about there.
Yeah.
So, I think Iowa will still be a really interesting team without Bohannon. I just don't think they'll have the goods to get to the tournament.
Well, Salika, is there anybody that you're looking at in this conference that is a tournament caliber team that we haven't discussed yet?
I wouldn't say for sure they would be a tournament team, but one team I'll be curious to see how they do coming off of a second round appearance is going to be Minnesota here.
I got to kind of agree with you there. Minnesota, David, historically, every year I think we hate this team heading into the season, and every year they find a way to get on the bubble, if not into the field. So
yeah, and into the field and into the round of 32 last year. So yeah. Richard Pitino a couple times has surprised us. Again, a few more questions than answers, but they do have some pieces that, you know, that you kind of like there. What about a team that you haven't really mentioned yet was one that started off 12-2 that got into the rankings, that had a big win against Michigan State, among others, last year, but that had way too many losses against a really tough schedule. Where is Indiana this year?
Okay, well, and then that's a good question. Why don't we answer both? Joby, let me throw both of those questions on you. Where is Minnesota? Where is Indiana, other than in Minnesota and in Indiana?
I actually like Minnesota for the tournament. Okay. I really do. I think they could have a reprieve of what they did last year. They have some the nice pieces. Arturo Einan is a newcomer that's going to be, I think, very valuable. Indiana has been – is one of those programs. UCLA is another. It's like there's no excuse. This team has tradition. It's known for college basketball. And for some reason, they're stuck in the mud. Unfortunately, until they get a tow truck of some sort, I think they're going to remain stuck in the mud. And I don't think they're going to make the tournament. They're going to be in the NIT again. They're going to have to rely on freshmen. I just don't see it. I really don't. And I know Galen's going to scream at me over that. But by midseason, he'll nod and say, oh, yeah, you were right.
I got to tell you, we are talking Indiana here, David. Is Archie Miller suddenly be on the hot seat in 2 years into his?
Maybe. The expectations were high when he got there, and like they certainly wanted them into the tournament more often than not. He hasn't gotten there yet. Unreasonable or not, that's an interesting discussion. But if they don't make it again this year, I think he would be, fair or not. It is Indiana, like you said.
Rocco. Beyond Indiana, we haven't mentioned yet. I've seen a little bit of love out there for this Penn State team. Is there any justification in that?
I think so. I mean, you got Lamar Stevens as a senior now. I mean, he practically averaged 20 points, almost 8 boards a game last year. They also bring in a couple nice transfers. Isaiah Brockington from St. Bonaventure sat out last year, played decent minutes for the Bonnies as a true freshman. And then Curtis Jones comes in as a grad transfer from Oklahoma State, average 8 points there. And so you also have Mike Watkins, a returning senior, a 7-7 guy. So I think they're going to do really well on the rebounding end of the floor. I think they also, I see a lot of experience here compared to some of these question mark teams that we've already covered. I think there's a big opportunity for Penn State to jump way up in the conference, but their track record doesn't speak highly for them.
Yep. And I guess this is kind of getting to the point of the show where we talk about the very bottom of the Big Ten. And
well, by the way, Chad, it's 9:50 Eastern time right now. How the hell has the puppet not jumped in with 10 miles in Nebraska yet?
Well, talk about a team that lost its coach. I mean, just talk about a team. We talk about coaching changes. We talk about Michigan. This is a team that in some ways I think the whole conference has taken a massive setback in all sports. It may have opened the door for a team like Michigan State this year to rise to the top, 10 miles leaving, but gee, what a disaster. I don't think Nebraska is going to be very good this year.
You know what? I got to agree with the puppet, though, Joby. This is Nebraska. Fred Hoiberg coming in, though, in all seriousness. But he's got to rebuild.
And why does Fred Hoiberg take that job? I know that sounds crazy to say, but
yeah. Why Fred would
Hoiberg
you
is a better
– I mean, they always say, why would you want to follow the legend?
I don't understand. The cupboard is bare. Okay, just flat out. Nebraska is going to be looking forward to spring football quite early this year. I mean,
well, let's talk about another team that we haven't discussed yet either. Rocco, let me ask you about my team, my Rutgers Scarlet Knights, with a lot of returning players back and, you know, young guys here, mostly sophomores on this team. I actually think, I'm not calling the Rutgers to be a tournament team, but I think that they are going to be right in the mix there, somewhere in the middle of the pack, you know, eighth, ninth place, maybe seventh, and maybe if you're seventh or eighth, you can slip in the tournament, can't you?
You can. I mean, eight teams got in last year. In fact, seven teams won a game in the tournament last year. So,
is that, wow. I
didn't yeah, know. The only team that was
there.
Yeah, the only team knocked out was Wisconsin by Oregon of the Pac-12. So, Rutgers, you know, I like these sophomores that you guys have coming back, Chad, Mathis, Harper, Miles Johnson.
Geo Baker, yeah.
Yeah, Geo Baker, yeah, he's a junior.
He's a junior, but yeah.
But I think the big stab to the heart was when Eugene Omaruri, yeah, took off. That was tough, but I do think, again, I think everything from 5 almost down to 14, Nebraska's got a ton of question marks, 11 newcomers, you guys just talked about them.
They're terrible.
Northwestern's got a funky team. But Rutgers, Penn State, I mean, if you've been hanging on for hope all these years, this could be your year.
Right. And you're right. This is a year where it is kind of wide open after that number one team. I'm not saying Rutgers is finishing number two, but hey, could always happen. Stalika, there is one team we have not yet mentioned other than just briefly in passing. That is Northwestern. Any thoughts on them for this year?
My only thought is that just about everyone that was involved in their 2017 NCAA tournament run that actually got a win, all gone now.
All gone. But you know what? I'm not. I don't think that's the end. I think there's a team that in a couple of years can get itself built back up. But
well, they have a very strong recruit in Robbie Baran, right, who's coming aboard, might help them. But Rocco was exactly right. He said it perfect. They are indeed funky. They smell awful.
Well, I actually made that comment. They have one of the most interesting stories in college basketball. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about this, but an All-American, I think he might have actually been the National Player of the Year in lacrosse last season for Loyola Greyhounds. His name's Pat Spencer. He actually ran out of lacrosse eligibility, but he was a star basketball player in high school. He decided to do a Greg Paulus and come to Northwestern and try his hand at basketball, and he's on the roster, and he's projected to be part of the rotation. So that is a very interesting story.
That is incredible. That just goes to show you that you don't even have to play basketball to play basketball at Northwestern.
And this is Northwestern here, so I assume he's smart enough not to run out with a lacrosse stick to the basketball court. I guess on that note, that is the team. So I want to do is run through each of you now and ask you a couple of questions. Number one, how many bids do you see this conference getting? And number two, if you have any other thoughts at all, any other final thoughts about the Big Ten? And Joby, let me start with you.
I've been pulling back bids from some conferences, the ACC, for instance, them where they've been. A lot of those bids are going to flow here. The Big Ten will have the most bids of anyone. I am calling they up it from last year to 9.
Wow.
Yeah, 9 bids. And remember, I have Indiana out among those 9 even. But they could get in. But the reason why is because of how the structure is. My final thought is, let's compare them to the ACC. The ACC probably doesn't have, it's a shoe-in one seed unless you think Duke, you know, maybe Duke. But for the most part, you see 4 protected seeds. And maybe 1 or 2, you know, middle of the pack type teams. The Big Ten is the exact opposite. 1 elite team, and it's really elite, Michigan State. And then all those other 8 bids plus an NIT, you know, a team like Indiana, et cetera, that I have eat up a lot of the middle. And they'll beat each other. And they're lucky they have 3 dregs at the bottom. So, you know, to rack up some wins to get, you know, I think the ninth place team, the Big Ten, still gonna have a winning record thanks to the bottom group and the fact they play each other. So, or at least 500. So that equals a lot of bids. And with some other conferences having fewer bids this year, 9 for the Big Ten.
9 for the Big Ten. Stalika, you up as high as 9 bids?
I'm not gonna say 9 teams. I'll probably be a little more conservative and say 7. I'm absolutely positive on five of them, with Michigan State, Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, and Wisconsin. The next two are going to be a little bit iffy, but I would probably say at this point, Minnesota and Michigan would be a couple of my picks.
Minnesota, Michigan, I think Illinois is the other one that I'd have in there. I think I'd be at eight with those being the eight teams myself. Rocco, your thoughts and any other thoughts about the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's well, one thing to point out just about the Big Ten in general, this marks now 20 years since their last national championship. So no pressure, Michigan State, who actually did do it in 2000, as we know. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm having a tough time with the middle of this conference, as you could probably tell by some of my comments. I'm going with an average of seven. I could see, you know, if the non-conference was an overall disaster for Big Ten expectations, as low as six. I think Joby's right. If everything breaks right, they could get up to nine. But my realistic scale, just kind of averaging everything out, would be anywhere from six to eight. So I'll just say seven, like Stalika.
Seven. David, let me finish things off.
I'm thinking six or seven for a couple of things that some of the other people have said, is that it's just there's a lot of mixture in the middle. The other thing, I guess, as a final thought / reasoning, we saw the 20-game schedule last year. I'm no bigger of a fan of it this year than I was last year. I think maybe Indiana kind of bore the brunt as someone that playing that many league games, it sort of collapsed on them. I could see that kind of happening again this year, depending on how many times those middle teams play each other or how many times they play at the top of the league. I mean, I could kind of see that happening. And the other thing, it's just a 20-game schedule could in theory result in 24 or 25 conference games when you factor in the conference tournament. And how many I could see that just being too many to where there's just not enough separation in the metrics to get eight or nine all the way into the field.
Well, I know they got eight last year. David, I got to take issue with you here, because this is kind of the comments we had about the 20-game schedule heading into the season last year. And lo and behold, they put 18 teams in, eight teams into the tournament, and these teams were ready. I mean, seven of the teams won at least one game. So doesn't that kind of say, hey,
well, I think 20-game schedule worked? No. I still don't like it.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens this
year. And you got to keep in mind, Chad, Tim Miles was in the Big Ten last year.
On that note, everybody, I want to thank everyone for joining us for our Big Ten preview. On behalf of John Stalika, Joby Fortson, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, David Griggs. I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be back with a lot more preseason content coming up real soon, so keep an eye on the website, and we'll talk to you again real soon.